What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Here Bob goes, first class on the Steelers charter. Here Bob goes. Bob, if they make it to the Super Bowl, will you go on their charter? That's the question.
I don't know.
I think you will.
I don't know. I would love, you know, that's in San Francisco, which is a challenge, you know, when we
here
do
Bob
the business
goes,
we do here.
First class on Art's private plane. Here Bob goes.
Here Bob goes with champagne. Here we go.
I like that.
Champagne for Bob.
You got to have champagne. If you're going to the Super Bowl, you better have champagne.
Bob, yes. I have a question. You know how in Home Alone, they, you know, they fly to Paris and they're sitting in first class and they have these huge, very comfy chairs that they look that they're sitting in? Is that what first class used to look like years ago, like
used
in the '90s?
Not anymore.
Really?
To be honest, it's not worth it. Unless you're going overseas or something, you get one of those, they have these new things where you can actually lay down and kind of reclines.
Have you ever gone on a plane that has beds on it?
No.
I have. When the Penguins flew to Tokyo in the year 2000,
they had beds.
Guys were sleeping.
Back then?
Yeah.
Did you have one?
No. I'm a sports writer. They had me in the most uncomfortable seat possible.
No, I know. You know, to me, the first class part of what's going, it's not the same. All it is a drape now that separates you from the rest of the general population.
It's like the old non-smoking on planes.
But it used to be much better. Plus, you'd get everything just, and today, I don't think they do that in first class.
Row 13 is smoking. Row 14 is non-smoking, but they get the smoke blown in their face the whole trip.
Does that make any sense?
That actually happened. Am I right, Bob? The non-smoking and smoking would just be separated by nothing,
well,
just the row.
You're in that little cubicle, that chamber there. No matter if someone's smoking, you're going to inhale it at some point, regardless of where you are.
Can you believe that people just used to light up cigarettes on planes? Limits. Can you even conceive of that?
I remember that.
Honestly, no. I could not see that happening. That just sounds so dangerous.
And then they'd wheel out like a whole dinner. Like the steak the other day.
And
a real
alcohol,
meal.
Whatever you want. A real, they had it catered by some fancy restaurant, and those of you in the front seat. And, you know, but the smell lingers. Even when someone's having a really good dinner, you could smell it in the back.
Oh, yeah.
You're thinking, oh, man, I get chips.
Now
I
you get a
pretzel.
You get a cracker.
You get
one
some cookies.
Of those, although
two
I do
cookies.
Like those.
Hey, same works when you expel gas. I've been in those situations where someone did that, and then it just went everywhere.
Wow.
Instead of, and no one took accountability for their.
I thought you meant they were fueling the plane,
no, Bob. I'm talking about someone, you know, expelling gas.
When did they stop doing that? Not the gas, but the food on the plane.
Like, a long
maybe,
time ago.
Maybe that's hand in hand. Those first class people eat all that stuff and then they expel gas. And
maybe.
It goes backwards.
Comes with privileges, Bob. Although we've talked about this before, I love those little cinnamon crackers they hand out on the plane.
Oh, they're so good.
Those are a treat.
Yeah, but it's not a big meal.
No, it's not. It's cinnamon crackers. Who's next?
Here is Gary. Gary is in Moon.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
I've never been better. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy. Before we start talking football, I want to say how sorry I am about Mr. Justy.
Yeah.
Years ago, I caddied for him and Jerry Royce at the Montour Country Club in Moon.
I love Jerry Royce.
Wow.
He's a really nice guy, too. Did you get to know Jerry Royce? Yeah, the big lefty with the blonde hair, the blonde bomber.
Just two wonderful guys. But anyways, the Steelers, I think they definitely have a chance. It seems like since Roethlisberger left, Tomlin has the ability, their players have the ability. We win ugly, we lose ugly. And it's just the way we play that brings the teams to our caliber or we go to their caliber, whatever it may be. But I think it's going to be a struggle. I think it's going to be very physical. I think it's going to be like the old Ravens-Steeler games. I think it's going to be a knockdown, blowdown type of game tonight.
Is it Gary?
I would agree.
Gary, yes. If the Steelers win the toss, would you kick or receive? And then I'd like answers from Bob and Mr. P.
I would defer.
Bob?
Me too.
Me three.
Not me. Yeah, I would actually, because then you go on defense
half.
First.
Yeah, and it puts the pressure on them right off the bat. And if they get three and out or whatever, you know, all of a sudden everything, you have the ball, then you get it to start the second half. A lot of that's important, and especially in this kind of game. Possessions are going to be important. So if you can get another one out of it because your defense sets a tone in the first possession, that's good.
Next. Limits. Stop arguing with people.
I wasn't
there.
Arguing. I was just listening to the nice man. Here is our guy, Johnny and Farrell, our favorite stoner on the station.
What's up, Johnny?
Hey, fellas. Hey, tell me what you think of this. I think the best way to beat these guys, first, catch them off guard, and then second, get them tired, right? We got Rodgers like a point guard back there. I think we should play heavy, no huddle, and dictate the pace to them. Don't allow them to substitute their players. Catch them with 10 guys on the field. Get them reacting.
12 guys or 10. If they have 10, you don't want to catch them. Let them play.
I agree with that, yes.
Yeah, well, no, exactly. Catch them with the 10 on the field and go. Just go. Just dictate the game to them all game. And this isn't the type of game where you say we need 30, 40 minutes of possession of time against these guys. This offense isn't that good. We can let them go out there. We can get down the field quick and let them throw interceptions and fumbles. I'm telling you, we have to dictate.
And they don't turn the ball over a lot, but I think Stroud is capable of it, especially if the Steelers get a little lead. But I think that they have the fewest turnovers in football, do they not, Bob?
Yes, they don't give it up, and they take it away. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. They're good at it. They're plus 17, second in the league, 29 takeaways, and only 12 offensive mistakes. So that's pretty good.
Do you hear the little dog in the background, Bob? Dog, yep. My little dog Bailey is having trouble with some. It's like acid reflux. It feels like, but it's also like a neurological thing. The vet said, so he can't like chew his food and swallow it. You know what I mean? So he's been having all kinds of trouble, and he's on medication. And it's not going well.
I hate to see
it's painful to watch
animals and pets go through that kind of stuff because you can't communicate. You don't know exactly what they're thinking, but you can just look at their actions and know it's not good.
Yeah. When they're in discomfort, it's the worst feeling. I keep thinking about him. I hated to leave him this morning, but it's been happening for a while now. I never thought a dog could feel just like any other member of the family, Bob, but he does.
We've had a couple, and sadly both had to be put down, and that's one of the hardest things to do. It's just because they are. They don't, you know, they're always there with you. It doesn't matter what kind of day you have. When you come home, they're waggling their tail, waiting to see you.
Right.
You know, and yeah, that's.
I keep thinking of him. He likes to sit on the top of the couch by the window like a cat would and observe everything going on for the whole day. And he was mad, I think, that I left today. Do you think they get mad?
Yes. I think they know. And they also know when they get happy when they hear your car pull in.
No doubt. Limits, how was Muffin doing?
Muffin actually keeps licking her paws, and it has created an infection, and she has to stop doing that. So we've been trying to make sure that she doesn't lick her paws.
Is that something that happened outside? Maybe there's a needle in there.
No,
or
she
something?
Has like a small skin infection right now that we're trying to cure, and a lot of medicines aren't really helping with it. But thankfully, she's not really in any pain. It's just there.
Yeah, that's what you don't want is the pain. It's hard to watch. Anyway, who's next?
Here is Brian to chime in on the game.
Brian, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good about the game. I just think I'm opposite of the last caller, though. I think throughout the season, the Steelers play their best games when they dictate the offense and they dictate the pace. And I just think having a quarterback, a legit quarterback, has just given me hope anyway. It just looks different. It feels different. And Kenny Gainwell said something last week that, you know, this is a tight-knit team. And I think you need that to play for one another. I mean, you look at the debacle in Philly. You got the coach yelling at players and arguing, the fans booing. I have a good feeling. I'm ready to go. I'm going tonight. I'm trying to stay calm and save my energy, but I can't wait.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a good time, I bet, no matter what. I think the crowd will play a big factor in this, too. I mean, you know, if you're there, right off the bat, you can create problems for Houston on offense. So I'm sure they want it to be as loud as it was when that kick by Tyler Loop went wide right.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
I think the energy in that place tonight and the matchup itself, one thing I don't expect is for this to go the way of recent Steeler playoff games. Like I will be surprised if this is not a competitive, really close game in the fourth quarter, unless it's the Steelers ahead by a lot. Like if someone's going to do the blowing out, I think it's going to be them. Otherwise, I expect a very close game that frankly could go either way. I think the Steelers win it, as I've said 100 times today, 15-10, but some people interpret that, Bob, as disrespecting the Texans. It's not really. I mean, the Texans didn't win their division. Let's not forget about that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the Texans have not won an outdoor playoff game with this coach and this quarterback. So let's see them prove it. I think that that offense, their offense, is the worst of the four units on the field, and it's going to struggle mightily tonight. But,
right.
But I'm not discounting the idea they could win. Of course they could.
No, and you know their way of doing business is they're going to try to make big hits that lead to big interceptions and or fumbles and turnovers so that they get a short field. They will use Kiami Fairbairn most than all the time. They trust him no matter what the situation. I think I looked at the numbers. They're one of the least fourth down chances. They don't go after fourth downs all the time. They'd rather kick the three, and that's why they had 48 of them. They trust him. Those points will be big. And as you said, you don't want to give away 3 points when you're in a position to get them, even if you think your offense could get a yard or two. If it doesn't work, man, that's a big swing.
It's a big game for the Texans, too, you know.
Of course it is. They need to.
They've never been there. They've never been to a Super Bowl. They've won some playoff games. They've had more success over the past 15 years, really, than the Steelers in terms of playoff wins. They have a playoff win in each of the past two. This coach, this quarterback, at some point they need to advance too. I think D'Amico Ryans just spoke to that. Did he not, Limits? Do you have that quote? I think I sent you a quote.
Yeah, he did. And he knows too. They've been in the playoffs 3 straight years. He's done a really good job getting them. Now the expectations rise down there in Houston, and they expect a lot more.
Ryan said basically that it's time. Here's what he said. I don't know what show this was. I think it was in Houston. He said, this is Ryan's, man, we're here. We're going to Pittsburgh on the road. It's going to be cold. Let's go. It's time for the Texans to put it all together and show that we can go win a game on the road in a tough environment in the playoffs. Let's go get it done. That's the position they're in. There's only so many years you can go, you know, away from home and not win and not advance. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the Texans are one of four teams in this, well, before yesterday and before the weekend, Jags had never won a Super Bowl. The who else? The Chargers, never. The Panthers, the Texans, those teams have been in here for a while and they've never had a chance. Even a team like the Bears, you know, I forgot about this, but even though they've been, you know, in all sorts of turmoil the last several years, the last Super Bowl they were in was the Super Bowl Shuffle in 1985. And I forgot just how long that's been. It's been a long time. Even San Francisco, with all the success they had, Joe, I think it's 1994. I mean, it's once you get to this thing, the expectations are high, but the disappointments are also very bitter, and they happen more than they don't.
I can't wait for the Bob Spillane Bowl next weekend, Bob, in Foxborough on Sunday.
How about that? He's become a big part of their team.
Yeah, he has.
He's a regular player for them, and I think Vrabel really likes the way he plays.
Mike Tomlin has a tendency to win the close ones. Sometimes the Steelers make games close that shouldn't be. That factors heavily into that, but I have a feeling this is going to be the kind of game that he likes and that he believes he can win and that they will win.
I don't think there's any question. I think both coaches think that way. That's the kind they like to play. It's not trying to stop an elite offense. It's going to, you know, move the ball quite a bit. I think both these teams, that's why I look for lower scoring. I just do not see a lot of points in this game.
Bob, what'd you think of Ben Johnson's handshake after the game the other night, and then the Packers stuff after the game? Disrespectful, or the type of stuff you like to see?
I don't like to see it. I like sportsmanship. I don't know why he did that, but I do know in his opening press conference when he took that job, he talked about Matt LaFleur in it.
Yeah, so it said, I love to beat Matt LaFleur.
That's fine, but just, I mean, there was no need for that. It reminded me of the guy from Georgia Tech who did it, Pat Narduzzi. Remember that? Just a quick hand, flyby.
Yeah. You know what? I guess I didn't love it, but I like that better than a lot of the inner team camaraderie I see these days.
I'll tell you that much.
No, but if you're going to err on one side or the other, I'd rather err on 80s Lakers-Celtics rivalry than exchanging jerseys and hugs after games.
I agree. That I don't like. They can do it whenever they want. It doesn't have to be right after the game and then put it on social media all over the place.
Sometimes when you're the Chicago Bears and you've been kicked in the face for 30 years, it's time to fight back. And I really don't have a problem with it. Don't you feel that way about the Ravens if you're a Steeler fan? Wouldn't you know?
I think for me, the respect, you got to have that element, but the respect at the end of it should not result in that sort of handshake. That's all I think. Those two, Tomlin and Harbaugh have been through this a lot when they did it, and I think in this case it's the start of a new kind of battle.
The handshake could have been more respectful, I'll grant you that, but again, if you're going
to
err on one side or the other, err on that side. And as John Thompson said when he first got to when he started winning at Georgetown, when he first got there, it was, it's funny, when I came here and everybody was kicking my ass, they were all so friendly. Your guys play hard. You're a really good coach. I respect your team. And then when I started kicking theirs, they weren't so friendly to me anymore. I think that's the way it goes. And I think if you're the Chicago Bears, if this guy is erring on that side of it, all right, that's what you got to do. You're not going to take it anymore if you're the Bears.
And just when it happens to you, don't be surprised next time.
Because, not at all.
And I wonder if Matt LaFleur is going to be back. I have a feeling they will. They were talking extension before this playoff ever began.
I think that's to be determined here. He's 3-6 in the playoffs.
I understand. I regard him as still a very good coach.
So do I.
And I think there are a lot of very good coaches who are going to end up losing their jobs.
I mean, he's made legitimate runs. And, when I compare a lot of these teams to the Steelers over the past 8 years, a lot of these guys are winning some playoff games at least. And even the ones they lose are great games where they'll lose by a point or a field goal or something. The Steelers are getting blasted in most of these games.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of them.
Right,
not one of
them
have they been a real threat to win in the final couple minutes.
We haven't had an overtime game yet. This could be one of them tonight.
You predicting imagine? That, Bob?
No, I'm just because I said 19-9, but how about if it did get that way?
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.